All right, we are continuing our overall theme of ordinary people, extraordinary God. And this is also the month for Easter. And I do what I do for Easter every year. 6 months ago when I was planning out the sermons, I forgot Easter. So I just kept writing sermons and then realized I did it again. Easter. So as Easter comes up, we want to take a look at the story of Easter, but from the perspective of people that we don't often associate Jesus' death, his burial and resurrection with. Some very ordinary people. But the key is that Jesus is at the center of all these stories. We've talked about people from the Old Testament. Now we're jumping to the New. These people had their lives changed because of Jesus getting ready to die. Dying and coming back to life. Ours can too. The challenge a lot of times is it kind of depends on our identity. So we feel that we can be extraordinary if we're pretty, or if we have a lot of money, or if we have the right last name, or if we, you know, there's a lot of ifs that we always go to when we decide, well, I can't be a part of things, or if Jesus only knew what I did. And today I want you to see there's a gal that is broken and does some breaking. And a lot of times when there's things in our life that break us, like we talked about last week, for those of you who were at home church and then saw the summary online Tuesday night, about this single mom who had nothing, no water, no food. She was at the end of her rope, no identity, no job. She knows she's going to die. She knows that she and her son, that she is beyond hope. And then Elijah comes in and ruins everything. But when you're that broken that you can't imagine anything else but death, because you have no other resource, you have no hope, what do we do in those situations? And we also tend to think that because we've been broken, because we've done something or something's been done to us in our past, and it's kind of shattered us and it's broken us, and others tend to look down on us or bully us, that we can't serve. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. The brokenness that we have, God can put us back together so that we can serve him. Here's how we do it. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark 14. Mark is in the second half of your Bible. Very early on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four famous names. So, Mark 14, verse 3. This is a familiar story for a lot of us, but maybe not in terms of the perspective of ordinary people, extraordinary God. So what I want you to see in verse 3 is the brokenness. The brokenness. While Jesus was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, I think that's hilarious. I'm going to tell you about it here in a second. A woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Anybody know what nard is? I'm pretty sure that my great-grandparents cooked with it. I don't know what nard is. But it sounds expensive, right? She broke. Oh, there's that word. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Look at the beginning of verse 3. Whose house are they at? Simon's house. What's Simon's nickname? The leper. Jesus and the disciples would not be in his house if he was a leper. There's no way. Jewish law would not allow it. It's very, you touch and you get it and it's blah, and they're not even allowed to live in a house. So obviously he's been healed, right? He touched the TV when the televangelist was on. Boom, healed, right? Magical. Jesus obviously healed this guy. He wants to throw Jesus a party, invites Jesus and the guys over. Did you notice, though, that he is still known by his past? thousands of years later, this guy is known by his past. Ain't that fun? Ain't that fun to be known by who you used to be? Things you used to do or things that happened to you so that decades later, I know you, right? I went to my uncle's funeral this past Tuesday. What do you think I was known as? Come on, what did everybody call me? Davey. Yes. Every 53-year-old man wants to be known as that. Didn't bother me a bit. It was family. But some of these people I had not seen in decades. And all they knew was me way back when. Right? It's awful when all you're known as Simon the leper. Right? And a lot of times when we've got those nicknames, we've got that reputation, we've got that past, we think there's nothing that we can do to serve Jesus because we're broken, right? Because we're broken. Simon, on the other hand, says, I'm throwing you a party. Well, you know they call you the leper. I don't care. I'm throwing Jesus a party. And so he does that. Don't let your past be the reason why you don't serve. It seems like our pasts are often impossible to overcome. Here's what I'm telling you. Just own it. Whatever your brokenness is, just own it. I'm not telling you to be proud if you're like, hey, I used to be a jerk. I was the best jerk ever. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, man, I used to really be a jerk. And then I met Jesus, and he healed me. I can understand your anger, your frustration, or what. Let me tell you how he's changed my life. If he can change my life, he can change yours. Get the idea? Simon the leper is like, I'm going to throw Jesus a party, and anybody that asks, wait, weren't you a leper? Yep. And then I met Jesus. We just own it, right? So whatever we think our limitations are, we own it, and then we serve. By the way, look at verse 3. What's the name of the woman? It triggered. Sexist society, name women. Blah, blah, blah. No name. Guys, you don't have to serve Jesus just to make a name for yourself. A lot of people make the mistake, and pastors are the worst, we draw attention to ourselves. Not ourselves so that people can learn more about Jesus. Does that make sense? This woman does not have a name, and yet we're about to learn something amazing about her as she breaks that jar of very expensive perfume and pours it on his head. Now listen, if you have decided today that with me and my disgusting feet, if you're going to break a jar of perfume over my head, that's just gross. I'm not interested in that at all unless Ian wants to spray me with Axe body spray. Every junior high boy goes through that phase. Woof! No, not interested. I don't do that stuff. But here's what I want you to see. You may be known by your past. You may have a name for yourself. You may never, ever be recognized for what you do for Jesus. Here's what I am telling you, though. If you go all out, there are bullies in this world that will take your brokenness. They will mock you. They will put you down. And you will get emails like I do from people from my past going, how can you, of all people, be a pastor? And I always respond, I know, right? There's bullies. Look at verse 4. Some of those present, oh, that's funny, were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? And then my favorite argument from every church congregational meeting ever that argues about money being spent. Well, it could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Woo! $500,000. And the money given to the poor. Oh my gosh. Sentence end there. And they rebuked her harshly. Oh. There are people that have been convinced that their spiritual gift is being a bully for Jesus. Now look at the beginning of verse 4. Some of those present yelled at her, do you think it was Jesus? You think Jesus was ticked off that she did that? No. You think it was Simon the leper? It better not have been. Because I'm telling you right now, nothing is more annoying than somebody that's gone through junk in their past, and all of a sudden they become super Christian, and they decide to judge everybody else. Right? And it's like, huh, I don't think Simon did that. Well, who else is with him? The dumb disciples. Dummies. It's the disciples, it's you and me. Indignantly, they said to one another. Oh, Christians and their indignant attitudes. Let me ask you a question in these two verses, verses 4 and 5. What did the disciples care more about? The woman or the money? Now let me ask you this question today. What do a lot of churches care more about? It's tough, isn't it? Is money important? You're doggone right. I like my salary, right? Yes, it's important. Money is important. In fact, when we gathered together as elders this last time, we talked about the fact that, you know what, it's been a while since we've talked about biblical finances. And so later this fall, we're going to rework some things so that we can talk about personal finances and help you understand finances in a biblical matter. Some of us have been through that, but it's time to renew some of that stuff. So we're going to do that. But I'm telling you right now, there are some churches that care more about money than they do people. That's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. It is important to care about money, isn't it? It's stewardship. God has given it to us. He expects us to take care of it. But good golly, we turn church buildings into museums. Don't you touch that. Don't you go there. Don't you do that. Right? And we forget about people. They cared much more about the amount of money that this cost. By the way, what's the most expensive perfume in the world? Anybody know? I looked it up, took a picture of it off the interweb thing, and I couldn't figure out how to get it up on the screen. Here's what it costs per ounce. Are you ready? It's sold here in America for $13,000 an ounce. Is the most expensive perfume in the world, and it's not Axe body spray. $13,000 an ounce. It's made from the tears of angels. I have no idea. I'm reading all this stuff that it's made from, and I go, who cares? $13,000. Fellas, now you know what to get your gal. $13,000 an ounce. And she is sure to respond when you say, I only paid $13,000 an ounce. She is sure to get a response, right? So, that's crazy. But can you imagine? Churches love to argue about money, right? I do not miss the days of when I first came here, and I'm not lying to you, when we argued, the church board argued for an hour and a half on whether to buy a riding lawnmower. That's all we argued about for an hour and a half. I say we. I sat there going, are you serious? Another 45 minutes then was, do we buy a John Deere riding lawnmower? And another 30 minutes was, well, we're not going to buy it from so-and-so because in 1954, and I'm like, those are important things. Buying lawnmowers are important things. Taking care of our lawn are important things. Not in a church board meeting. They're not. Right? And we argue about those things. That was, by the way, a 3.5-hour board meeting on a Thursday night. And then the chairman of the board at the time, it was my first year here, looked at me and said, okay, Pastor, what you got for us? And I'm literally looking at my notes. So-and-so's getting a divorce. So-and-so's going through a tough time. So-and-so is so excited about God right now. So-and-so, right? It was all people. And I looked at him and I said, I got nothing. And I thought, we got a lot of work to do here as a church to become a church that cares about people. Right? that cares about people. So, man, we've done such a great job with that. Praise the elders for that, because they are fantastic. Are these guys bullies in verses 4 and 5? Are they bullies? Indignantly rebuked her harshly. There's nothing worse than going to church and running into the church bullies. I don't like church bullies. Don't like them at all. Rebuked harshly. Man, why do churches think they have to defend Jesus when it comes to money and objects and things? I don't get it. Now, here's what you need to understand. You may come broken. You may be bullied because of what you do for Jesus and how you want to worship him. Here's what I want you to know what Jesus thinks. He thinks you're beautiful. Verse 6, leave her alone. I love Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you'll always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you won't always have me. Huh. He's not telling us not to help the poor. He's like, you can do that anytime. Verse 8, she did what she could. That's such an important phrase. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. If I told you, name the person for me that really made sure that Jesus was ready to die, would you have said Peter? Or John? Or any of the disciples? Or would you have said, yeah, some woman that we don't know the name of? Even though the disciples were right there. We can so focus on the wrong thing as pastors, as churches, and miss people that do beautiful. She has done a beautiful thing. Do you worship God in a way that others think is dumb? This is no lie when I tell you that every single time that I have gone to the incredible, and I'm thankful that they're here because they employ my daughter, Van Wert Cinemas, I am mocked every single time that I go. I hate going to the Van Wert Cinemas. And the honest to goodness truth is because I'm made fun of every single time that I go. You guys know that rarely do I do anything silently or quietly. All right, there's decibels involved. And if I see something on the screen that is funny, what do? I don't care if you don't think it's funny. I don't care if nobody else is laughing. I laugh. Do I have a plain, normal laugh? No, I do not. I don't care. And I laugh, and invariably, every single time I go, someone in the theater with me, as soon as I'm done, will mock my laugh. They'll make the same sound and they think it's funny, and it just kills me. I don't know who else to be. I'm just me. They mock me. And I tell Deanna every single time, I hate coming here. I hate coming here because they mock me. I have been mocked for the way that I worship, not here. But I've been mocked for the way I close my eyes, I lift my hand, I don't care. When I first came here, they thought I was an alien. Nobody did that, right? Nobody lifted their hand. You don't do that. You don't laugh in church. I did. And some people at the time, not Jamie, and some people at the time would come to me and say, hey, I don't think you ought to be doing that. And I'd go, why? Well, it's just not the way we do things here. I don't care how you do things here. Being the target of being mocked for simply who you are or expressing yourself is a humiliating experience. Am I right? And this woman comes and she breaks this jar over Jesus in an act of pure worship. The disciples blast her, and Jesus goes, "No, that's beautiful." So I'm telling you, if you think you've been mocked for the way that you serve, or how in the world can you be a pastor? You go to what church now? Oh, it's the Camel Church. Oh, I've heard things about that church, right? You've been told that. Have you ever given too much and somebody goes, "Whoa, easy there, cowboy. That's too much." Who cares what somebody else thinks? Please note, I want you to note in verse 8, she is not drawing attention to herself. She's not coming in and doing this for the show of mocking the disciples or saying, "Look at me and how much I give," because Paul deals with that, or Peter deals with that in the book of Acts. She is drawn complete focus on Jesus. And he thinks it's beautiful. I don't care how broken you are, how beat up you are by bullies. If you want to give yourself all out to Jesus, he'll go, "That's beautiful. I love that. It's beautiful." So he says in verse 9, "Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world," and that's right now, "what she has done will also be told in memory of her." In memory of what's her name? Isn't that incredible? She helps more people know about Jesus and what he's about to do for thousands of years. Is that going to be your legacy? When someday I got to do your funeral or you got to do mine, will that be the testimony? Because I'm telling you right now, there's nothing that I hate worse at funerals than open mic time. And they had that at my uncle's, and I thought, "Oh, this is not going to go well." Bunch of Hill Jackson, Southern Ohio. There's no way that open mic, where people can say whatever they want. Can I tell you, I wanted it to keep going? It was incredible. And my favorite part is when one of the guys got up and talked about the church service where he came forward and gave his life to Christ, and then my Uncle Clarence came forward, and then his other buddy, the Three Stooges, came together and they gave their life to Christ, and the good guy that I knew my uncle to be became a great guy in serving Jesus. And I wanted those stories to go on. My uncle was that guy. Do you help people know more about Jesus and what he did in his death? Or are you too much like the disciples and too often like me? By the way, go ahead and read ahead, but spoiler alert, the very next verse is Judas immediately goes to betray Jesus. Immediately. So you choose. Serve him all out. Do a beautiful thing as far as God is concerned, or just go betray him. Focus on money, focus on show, focus on your anger and your indignation, your rule-breaking, rebuking. You going to worship, or are you going to betray him? Which is it? I want to say that this week, "Oh man, am I going to worship him? Woohoo!" I don't. Not the way I probably should. Are you going to betray him? Am I? Because I think I know the answer to that too. Let's stand up and sing our closing song. And as we do, that's the simple question. Where are you at in your life? Do you want to serve him desperately, but your brokenness is holding you back? Oh, please. Who cares about your nickname? Just come on up. Maybe you've spent way too much time caring about the wrong thing instead of him. Encourage you to come up as well. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning.
like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well through the storm I am held. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well, it is well through the storm I am held. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, God has won, Christ prevailed. It is well, it is well with my soul. The Lord hates the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well through the storm I am held. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well through the storm I am held. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, God has won, Christ prevailed. It is well, it is well with my soul.
God, I can't help but remember every time that we sing this song the reality of what had happened, that the author lost his wife and children in a devastating boat crash. And to be able to write that it is well with his soul, it has lasted through the ages, like the testimony of this woman who broke that jar over your son's head. Help us, God, be more like her and less like the disciples in that moment, that we're just willing to be all in. Who cares about our past or what people may say, but we'll just serve you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray. Amen.